The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We are back, and it's great to say hello again to Ralph Russo, covering college football for many, many years. He is the name you all always see on the poll each week, and on pretty much every important college football story coming out. Ralph, good to talk to you. Thanks so much. The season is here. The polls are all done. I know you have a lot going on. What are you most interested in seeing this weekend and especially next?
Well, this weekend, I think every week is, of this season is a referendum on Scott Frost, right? I mean, we're going to be going literally living week to week on whether he is going to, you know, continue to be the Nebraska coach last year after he was surprisingly retained. So, you know, the week zero game that I think everybody's looking at is, you know, what Nebraska does against Northwestern over in Ireland. You know, the funny thing, Paul, is I think eventually week zero is going to be the start of the season. I think eventually we'll turn this into week one and more teams will start playing on week, what is now week zero, and that will turn that into week one. And then, yeah, the big game's coming up after that. You know, in week one, you have a top five matchup in Ohio State and Notre Dame that I got to tell you, I'm not sure is going to feel like a top five matchup when the clock hits zero.
Now, hold on a second, Rob. Be careful. I made the mistake a week ago to just poke a little fun at Notre Dame Nation, and everywhere I go, including Lou Holtz admonishing me the other night, you would have thought I have just committed heresy against the church.
Well, listen, as a Catholic myself, because once you are, the thing with being a Catholic, you're never out of the club, right? The membership is always good. It's not necessarily a knock on Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman. I think there's a lot of reasons to think that that's going to work out well, and there's a lot of reasons to be excited about, you know, where they're heading. But that Ohio State team, it just looks like a juggernaut offensively, and it, you know, that could be a tough one for a first game for a new head coach and a new quarterback and a lot of other new things at Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think that's really the appropriate way of figuring that out. Let me ask you about another game next week. And it's a Thursday night game, West Virginia and Pittsburgh. I'm particularly interested in this because you've got two programs, West Virginia trying to make some noise, Pittsburgh losing its two best players. They'll take on Tennessee the second week, I believe. What do we know about, especially Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think that I think Keaton Slovis, the idea of having him come in from USC, and the idea was to pair him with Jordan Addison, and then Jordan Addison goes to USC, so that sort of, you know, nuked those plans. I think that they're still going to be pretty good along the defensive line. It was sort of a magical season last year for Pitt, so the idea that they're going to have another magical season where they win the ACC seems pretty unlikely. I think the bigger question mark is on the other side with West Virginia, because as much as I think Neil Brown's a pretty good coach, it's been a program that's sort of been spinning its wheels since he got there. Not bad, but also not really asserting itself and taking a step forward. They bring in JC Daniels, who most likely will be the starter. So, yes, you will have two former USC quarterbacks most likely starting in the backyard brawl. Yeah, they also bring in USC's former offensive coordinator, Graham Harrell, to sort of soup up that offense. I just wonder, again, there's been a lot of, like, sort of, you know, running in place at West Virginia. And if either one of those programs could sort of use something that looks a little more like a signature win, I would say it's West Virginia, where Pitt has already had some breakthroughs under Narduzzi, you know, including last year.
Ralph Russo with us, the AP college football writer. He also did a very important and interesting piece recently on diversity in college football. And Ralph, I'm particularly interested in how you went about this and what you learned in talking to some of the most important people in the sport.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the thought was nepotism, right? We see a lot of – it's a family business, football coaching. And I understand why, right? It's more of a lifestyle than a career in many ways. And I know sons follow in their father's footsteps in many different industries, but even more so, I feel like, in football, because you grow up around it and you take buses to games and you play it. And this, it wasn't meant to sort of wag a finger at the coaches, at the many coaches who have hired, who are currently have family members on their staff. We found, I think it was 25 cases among Power Five schools where there was at least one family member on a staff. And in 22 of those cases, they were white coaches. So it's not necessarily to wave a finger as much as to say, if you already have a lack of diversity, this is perpetuating that if you keep hiring your family members. You know, Shane Beamer did a really interesting job of, you know, he talked to me about how he, you know, he didn't want to follow, you know, directly in his father's footsteps. And he went outside to get his first job and didn't work at Virginia Tech. But he also conceded that the first job he got, his father knew the AD and his father knew the offensive coordinator. So, it's not necessarily meant to shame the people who are involved in this, the coaches that are sort of legacy hires. There's a lot of very good coaches out there because they grew up in the game, but it becomes an obstacle when all the white coaches are sort of putting their white family members in the pipeline.
And on that subject, and you mentioned him earlier, Marcus Freeman, he, you know, you can't help but, you know, be at Notre Dame and get a lot of attention. Sometimes we make too much out of what one person can do. And Notre Dame has hired black coaches before, so as head coaches. So this is not earth-shattering, but it is important, especially his age. I mean, he could really reshape some of the conversation, could he not?
I think so. I mean, you know, listen, the Tyrone Willingham hire, if you want to go back, you know, way back when, it doesn't seem that long ago, Paul, but the things that don't seem like that long ago really are, because we're getting old. You know, that didn't end well for Notre Dame. And I think there's a lot of folks who looked at that and felt like Tyrone Willingham did not get a really good, really fair shake. And I imagine there'll be a whole bunch of people watching this Marcus Freeman situation and wondering if what kind of a shake he will get. He's a young coach in his first coaching job. This is a big, big task. To be the coach of Notre Dame is a big task for a 36-year-old who has never been a head coach before. I do think, you know, he could be, you know, sort of the next generation that sort of leads to possibly a little more diversity in these ranks. I mean, again, I don't think it's that much to ask for the head coaches, the population of head coaches, to look a little bit more like the population of players in major college football.
In talking to people, you know, I would like to say athletic directors and presidents make these decisions, but you and I both know this is college football. And there's usually some big guy in a smoke-filled room who makes the ultimate call. What else did you learn in just talking to various people about this issue?
Yeah, so, you know, I think Mike Loxley has done a great job. The Maryland head coach, he's led this national coalition of minority football coaches. And I think a lot of what he says is really interesting, which is, you know, we're not necessarily looking at, I'm not going to hire a black coach. It is more of, I will tend to hire a person who looks like me, because that's sort of what we end up, who looks like me, sounds like me, and has a similar background, which leads people in power to end up hiring people who look like them when they're hiring for powerful positions. And I think that what Mike Loxley will tell you, a lot of it has to do with promoting more black coaches, having them hooked up with more ADs, getting their names out there, having people to advocate for them. They've done a lot of work as far as trying to get black coaches in positions where they have advocates within the business. Because so much of the hiring and coaching now is basically, listen, every business is a little bit of a who you know business, but so much of the way coaches are hired nowadays are, you know, people looking for recommendations and who do you think you can trust, and you know, having powerful ADs go to bat for you often ends up making the difference between who is hired. And I think that what Loxley would tell you is we need more black coaches having advocates among these powerful ADs and other powerful people who help make these decisions.
Just a fantastic conversation with Ralph Russo from the AP. Ralph, many, many thanks. We know you'll be busy. We hope to catch up with you as the season gets going.
Always a pleasure, Paul.
You got it. Great stuff there. We will take a break. Very dynamic final hour. We'll talk to Clark Lee from Hawaii. We'll also talk to Patrick Young, the SEC basketball analyst who has dealt with some life-changing issues in recent weeks, and we'll talk to him later in the program. We're coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back here, and the paralegal from the Big Easy is next.
Woo! Paul, I think you brought Ric Flair back to prominence, talking about him all the time. Do you see he's on a commercial now selling, like, car insurance or car breakdown insurance?
I must have missed that. I don't have a physical way to block Ric Flair from my life, but I think it's mental.
Well, you better be a little nicer to Ric, because guess what? He's paying for your show, partly. He and Joe Namath and Kid Dynamite. So, yeah, Ric Flair and Ice-T and Allen Iverson. They're all supporters of your show.
Yeah, my beef with Ric Flair is when he went after Kirby Smart a couple of months ago. I found that to be really cheesy, because he claims that Kirby Smart did not shake hands with him, and then he came out and said that he's pulling for Jim Harbaugh to beat Georgia. And I know I'm sounding like a partisan, but I really lost respect for him after that ridiculous statement.
So does that mean we're not going to see Ric Flair at the SEC Championship Friday interview table?
Now listen, Augie, we're in the entertainment business, and if Ric Flair is there, we'll put him on.
Speaking of the entertainment business, Paul, you said you weren't a prosecutor. You made that statement earlier. You know, that's absolutely not true at all. You are the number one prosecutor, and you enjoy your role as prosecutor. But, Paul, did I hear you tell Russo that Lou Holtz is after you now?
Yeah, I was with him the other night, when we were doing an event together, and when I walked in, the first thing he started saying was, "How come you hate Notre Dame?" I said, "I don't hate Notre Dame. I just answered a question. I thought they were overrated. They were ranked too high." And he tried to say, "Oh, you're wrong." I said, "Whatever. I mean, you only coach there. I'm just a numbnut fan."
I can't believe that was the first thing Lou Holtz told you.
It was.
I figured he would have said, "Hey, Paul, I'm not dead, remember?"
Well, that was the second thing he said. let me say this about Lou. He's 85, and the two of us were on stage at this event Monday night. And I'll try to avoid the cliches, because every time you talk about somebody who is elderly, you say, "Oh, this guy's sharp as a tack." He really was. He was very funny, and my job was to keep him moving along, but he told some hilarious stories, I'm sure, that he's told many times before. but he was thoroughly entertaining.
I can vouch for that because I was in a crowd once, and I told you this story. I'm beginning to sound like you. I'm repeating stories, but he was one of the best public speakers I've ever heard. He was funny, he was entertaining, and he was sincere. So whether you like Lou Holtz or Notre Dame, he's a good public speaker for an event. I'm sure he charges a lot. But
yeah, that was a funny thing. After it was a charity event, Augie, and some friends of mine were part of it. And afterwards, one of my close friends walked up to me and said, "I don't know what they were paying you to be on the stage with Lou, but they were paying you too much." I said, "No, they weren't. They weren't paying me anything."
Well, I would have Lou Holtz any day, and you know what? You'd probably be a good one, too. So wouldn't that be great? I could have you and Lou Holtz talk before our group. But, Paul, it's a rare day. I'm in agreement with Jeff and Jim and even Daryl. I think you need a caller tag team effort against these guys like Roman Harper, Jordan Rogers, Tim Tebow. And you can even throw in some of the talking heads that come on all the time, like Bamel and Forty and Talty. I mean, everybody's got an opinion, and even though all they do is get paid to study the sport all the time, doesn't mean they're smarter than the rest of us. I think you have that. You need to get it on there, and I bet you you're
– But you know this, Augie, because you've watched this show. I am the biggest advocate there is for the callers, but what you know and what I know, and I'd rather not say publicly, if we could go off the record here – is a lot of these guys are very thin-skinned, and they would not ever allow themselves to be interrogated by people like you or others.
They probably
now, that was
would.
Off the record, of course.
Well, off the record. And hey, look, some people don't like to be criticized on Twitter, hence the reason I was blocked by Kenny B. But, you know.
No, that, I mean, there are, right, and I would never do this list because they're all my friends, and I don't want them to get mad, of course. But some of the people that you see on a regular basis are, and they get into Twitter fights, and they block people, and I find that to be utterly ridiculous.
Well, Paul, you know what I find ridiculous? Twitter has put me in jail again.
Oh,
I'm
really? You're
down.
Off Twitter?
Three more days. Yeah, they kicked me off again.
What did you do to get banned from Twitter?
So, Paul, if you're an Augie Twitter follower, you know my big number one Twitter commenting section now is the war in Ukraine. And I'm very anti-Russian, just like Frank Stallone, you know, Sylvester's brother.
Sure.
He does not like Russians. So I make a lot of comments on there about the Russians. And
you can get kicked off Twitter for criticizing Russia?
Well, it was more than a little criticizing.
Oh, okay.
I was celebrating an attack that really decimated some Russians. So maybe it was. I don't think it was anything.
I mean,
out
the president
of
the
context.
United States of America called the president or the head of Russia a thug and a terrorist.
Well, this was a comment about a Russian who didn't have a head. So,
well,
think of it
yeah,
what
I mean,
you
I
want.
Think I know what you're talking. So you celebrated the
yes,
death of the Putin whisperer.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, but Paul, one other thing. You said you hated to explain what layaway was to your listeners. Do you not study your demographics? Do you know your listeners are septuagenarians and octogenarians? They probably grew up with layaway. I did.
Well, I wasn't sure. I just assumed there are a lot of young people watching who had no idea what we were talking about.
Well, that's true. You do get some 12-year-old callers. But anyway, Paul, looking forward to that great Notre Dame-Northwestern game this weekend. I'm getting up to that. And I did see a game in Ireland. I saw Notre Dame play Navy at Craig Park in Ireland. It's pretty cool. I think it was 96.
Yeah, no, they were supposed to play last year or the year before. The COVID year, I believe. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Vince is up next. Hey, Vince. Didn't hear Vince. How about Chris in West Virginia? Hello, Chris.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you.
Mr. Feinbaum, I'm going to pick your brain a little bit.
Okay.
Like you said, I'm from West Virginia, and since about 1986 is when I started watching college football. And since then, you know, I've seen a lot of great coaches. I've seen Jimmy Johnson, like you mentioned, Lou Holtz, Let's see. Pete Carroll's pretty good coach. Would you say that old Nick Saban, an old West Virginia boy, would you say he's the best of all time?
Chris, I would say that, and I say that because I felt like I was privy or privileged to cover briefly the prior coach who was considered that title. So yeah, I don't think anybody is. I mean, they're different people, but Paul Bryant and Nick Saban. But I think almost everyone acknowledges what you said.
Yeah, I know I forgot to mention Joe Paterno, Bobby Bowden, coaches like that, you know, that I've seen, you know, since about 86. But from what I've seen, Nick Saban, fellow West Virginia Mountaineer like me, Nick Saban, I'm thinking he's the best that I've seen since around 1986. Would you agree?
Chris, I would totally agree. And I don't think this is something really in dispute.
Okay.
I am glad we got that cleared up. Randy, were you concerned that someone thought that Saban was not the best coach of all time?
No.
Okay. Always hate when there's disagreement on that subject. How about Jim in North Carolina?
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
Hey there, Jim.
Look, I've got a couple issues. They're not issues. It's just comments. And then I've got one question. I'll let you do your thing. I called in. I flipped on your channel because I like to catch it when I can because I love your show. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you very
much. And Tuscaloosa, Jim, he was in the first part of his rant about what he knew about football. Okay? So that was my main reason in calling. And I'm a displaced Ohio State fan in North Carolina. That's a fact. So let's just get that out of the way. But if he knew everything about football, he sounded like he was a longtime caller or whatever. If he knew everything about football, I'm confident he didn't believe Alabama would get beat by Ohio State in the semifinals when Ohio State won the first college football championship. That's my comment there. The other Jim, this is the Jim Day from hell, I guess. The other Jim was talking about Ohio State football, and the first mistake I believe he made was not mentioning Woody Hayes at the top of the list. Okay, that is what it is. Woody Hayes had one bad moment, and that's when he went out there and tried to knock out a Clemson linebacker. And one other comment, I called in while Tuscaloosa Jim was having his rant, and somehow y'all took him before me, so maybe you never need to check your door guy. Now, after that's all being said, here's what I would like to ask. I'm going to go ahead and hang up and let you do your thing. How do you feel about Ohio State this year? Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Jim. Yeah, I'll quote what some of the other people have already said here. I mean, Alabama is the preseason favorite. It's pretty overwhelming, but Ohio State is clearly the number two team. I always hate to say this. I mean, I think Alabama will win it all, but if they don't, then I would put my second bet on Ohio State. I think they are potentially that good. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We've had a busy one. We're not done yet. A couple more guests to go, including your phone calls right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Some days we just have a good time, substantive conversation, and then some days the stars come out, and today is one of those days. Legend is up next.
Woo! Elvis is in the building. Don't step on my Nick Saban shoes. Don't step on my Nick Saban shoes, baby. Do anything that you want to do. But don't you step on my Nick Saban shoes. Hey, Paul, I agree with you totally, dude. Ohio State, that's the main threat, man. I mean, Damon Jones, 6'9", 360, left tackle. Matthew Jones, a high-protected second-round draft pick. I mean, them dudes are loaded. I mean, ain't no doubt about it. There's one threat to Alabama, and it's Ohio State. I don't even consider Georgia a threat. I mean, I really don't, Paul. I mean, the Leprechaun still at quarterback. 80% of their defense is now in the NFL. I mean, come on, man. I don't consider Georgia the least bit of a threat, man. It's almost like they didn't win it, Paul. It really is. That's about how much respect I have for them at the moment. I mean, I hope they make Atlanta, which I doubt. I think AR-15 going to shock the world. Billy Napier is a better football coach in-game than Kirby Smart, I believe. And I think he's going to shock the world this year, man. I agree with you, Paul. Ohio State is the threat, dude. You nailed it, man. You nailed it. Hey, Paul, it's been a crazy day, man. As your agent, I've already contacted SEC Network, man. You need a raise. Woo! You need a raise, baby. You need a raise, man. Dealing with Jim and Jeff and Daryl. Them little morons that came up with a little alliance, ain't they? They got them alliance going on now. I think that's going to matter come March Madness time when the legend wins another national championship right here on the Fall Out Live Show. You think that alliance going to mean anything, brother? I tell you, I beat all you chumps in the ring. Every one of you little haters. That's right, brother. That's right. And, Paul, let me say something. Can I get serious with you for a minute?
Please do.
Yesterday, Jim Biden, not Joe Biden, but Jim Biden, came on here like a coward and put you on Front Street saying you had said something bad about me in an email. Let me tell you something, brother. I'll tell you something between me and you because I love you. Me and you go way back. I've said some stuff about you that I wouldn't tell you to your face behind your back. I don't hold that against you for one moment, dude, because I come on here. I don't try to act like a scholar, Paul. I ain't trying to be squirrel and think I'm a scholar or Augie and try to expand my vocabulary or Jim acting like David Koresh. I come on here for one reason, to be a fan, to be a fanatic. That's what a fan is, a fanatic. And I wouldn't blame you for saying anything about me, brother. It wouldn't matter because I deserve it sometimes.
But you know something, Legend?
I deserve it sometimes.
Legend, let me offer this. And this is normally where the talk show host will say, I never did that. I don't have any recollection of doing anything more than maybe a one or two word response to something that he said. And he said he would keep it private, although he already brought it out. He's welcome to release. He can release that email in his Hunter Biden laptop for all I care. I really don't. I'm not concerned about any veiled threats from him because you and I have a relationship. And if we get off track, then we'll talk about it as men. We won't tattletale on a show like this.
That's right, Paul. It was a cowardly move. He's trying to bring some division between me and you. That's all he's trying to do, but he can't do that. Because, like I said, the way I talk on here, how crazy I get, man, I listen to my call sometime on the podcast, and I'm like, damn, dude, did you really say that? I think I'd be crazy, too, but I'm being a fanatic, Paul. It ain't who I am in my everyday life. And for Jim Biden to come on here and try to put you on Front Street, it was a cowardly move. And let me say this. I ain't said I was a preacher. I said I used to be a preacher. Every morning I get up, I look to God and say, God, please have mercy on my wretched soul. Because I know the only thing going to get me to heaven is what Jesus did. Not what Jim does, not what he says. As Tupac says, only God can judge me, brother. And I know it's by the blood of Christ that I got any chance, or any sinner out there listening now got any chance. It ain't by your good deeds or any of that crap. So he can thank or judge me, but only God can judge me. But it was a cowardly move, brother. It was a cowardly move, Paul. And he's a coward. That's what he is, a friggin' coward. As that song goes, he's a paranoid psycho. I love you, dude. Legend. Elvis, ladies and gentlemen, calm down, has left the building.
We will take a short break. On that note, we have a big hour ahead, a few more phone calls, and then two major guests in the final hour. We're coming right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, we're back, and there were some allegations made yesterday by the artist known as Jim. Legend responded, and I see no reason to run away from this controversy. Let's meet it head on and see what Jim has to say.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. There you go again, kissing up to Legion like you do. You do it all the time. You never do that to me, but you do it to him. And that's what my point was in that email I sent you that day. I talked about that. I said, why do you do that? And this is what, you mean to tell you what you responded to me? I got the email,
do,
so I can prove it.
I absolutely have no
Well, here's what you said. Here's exactly, you didn't even capitalize it. This is what I got back from you in an email. You said, he threatened me. That's all you said, but that was enough to what I understood you thinking. Thinking you were worried about saying anything negative to your boy, your
well,
backstabbing boy Legion.
Trying to turn that into like some manifesto that I went after him.
I tweeted you. I mean, I emailed you. Why do you do that? I was angry about it. Yeah, I've been angry about it. And I let you know in a private email, and you responded. He threatened me. As though to say, I better not do anything against him. I don't want him to threaten me anymore.
That's
exactly what happened, Paul. As God is my witness, and you know it's true.
Well, again.
Well, what? Well, you just got to say to somebody, me and Hunter Biden email.
What
kind of crap is that for you to say about me?
Well, Jim.
Well, hell, Jim.
First of all, If you email me something and I respond, I don't expect that to be on the public airways, regardless of whatever I said. You violated that trust by what you said yesterday and whatever you just got through saying today. Truth hurts, I guess. Yeah, I mean, by the way, I'm not, if someone emails me something and I respond, I'm not really concerned. I mean, I would expect it to be confidential, but if someone decides to go ahead, it's not like I'm, you know, this is my first trip down email lane. I realize people can do whatever they want with that, and so can people like me. I was just responding to him, and that was probably a mistake, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
But I'm not ashamed. I mean, I didn't say anything there that I wouldn't have said. I said far worse to Legend that day that he called. Larry is up next in Shelby, Alabama.
Yeah, man. Hey, whatever happened to good old 24-hour rule? Hell, Jim goes back 24 years. God almighty. I mean, you're right about emails. You could be like old Hillary Clinton, you know. It could be a drug deal or something. You don't ever know. Emails should be private. But I want to call and talk about football, too, getting close, Paul, and I want to tell Handsome Joe, keep his damn nose in his own business. You don't have to worry about my problems, brother. Go tell that young lady that was on that doing the show. You keep your nose in your business big enough, you get in everybody's. But anyway, these teams like Dale's team, Georgia, they're going to be lucky to win a coin toss. Fine bomb. Be real lucky.
I see, Larry, you're still taking that beat down in Indianapolis well.
That beat down.
Yeah, the national championship game. You do remember that, don't you?
What?
Back in early
January.
Remember.
I have memory loss now. I just meant to tell you about my doctor diagnosed me with memory loss. He said, if you drink more than six beers, you can't remember nothing. So I drank seven today. So you're out of luck, Paul.
Well, that's smart. That's a pretty good response. Best one I've ever heard. Trey is up next. Hello, Trey.
Paul, you never take up for me, Paul. You always take up for everybody else. Let me tell you something, Paul. I was in the Army. That is one guy I would never want to go to war with and a foxhole with. A hypocrite and a baby who thinks nothing but himself. And I'm going to tell you why Jim's a hypocrite, Paul. And I started to say something months ago when he said he dogged some female out on your show so bad it wasn't funny. But he's always quoting scriptures and how much of a Christian he is. But then he come right back on the show and said he had a right to talk to her that way. Paul, you never, ever, ever have a right to treat somebody like crap or talk to them, no matter what they have done to you. I don't ever remember reading that in the Bible or any kind of scripture. Do you, Paul?
I don't, but I don't claim to be a prophet, so I could have missed something.
Well, that's what Jim does. He thinks he has he quotes on it. He's just mean, but I feel bad for the guy. He needs to stay off the show. He just embarrassed himself again. Page 54 is over, done. He needs to get over it, Paul. I wish they'd just call in and talk about sports like he used to do and quit. He used to be great when he called in. He had substance. He had a lot to contribute to the show. But this show, when he calls, has turned into nothing about Jim's personal life. Nobody cares what somebody
and Trey,
said
let
to
me,
him.
Let me stop you there. I mean, ultimately, there is one person responsible for his calls, and that's me. John is up next. Hey, John, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, hope you can hear me okay. I'm driving. Hey, I just want to make a comment on what Legend said earlier about on-field coaching, you know, comparing Napier to Smart. I mean, and I'll ask you if you'll be honest. I mean, we've heard this before about how Smart calls on the field, et cetera, et cetera. The only coach I recall that Kirby's ever struggled beating on the field has been Nick Saban. And he was able to get that done this past year. And, yeah, there was a couple of injuries, but yet they got it done. So I totally disagree with his comments about Napier and Smart. And better yet, obvious to me, he says he's not worried about Georgia. Then why bring and think that Florida's going to win the East this year? I'll hang up and listen to your comments, Paul.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, thank you very, very much. Let's check in with Bob up next in Georgia. Hey, Bob.
Hey, young man. How are you today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Listen, I want to talk about Darryl's comments about Rolvin. I think Darryl's battery went bad on his hearing aid or something like that, because he has selective hearing, from what I gather. When he said about the car, he said they talked to his financial advisor. He said he still has the car. So I don't understand where somebody can pick on somebody else that knows nothing about, I guess, finances. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that some of the people do that and pick on football players, basketball players. If your comment about how they did well, you know, so I'll bet you, what, 7 out of 10 guys that have played ball do have what they have and
sure.
have made money and are good people and have done that.
But that goes for everyone who's ever made a dime. That's why bankruptcy courts are so busy. Patrick Young is up next. I hope you'll stick around. This is going to be something.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.